Now we're turning back to our Old Testament scripture reading, and that's to Proverbs and chapter 1. So if you do have a Bible, do turn back to Proverbs and chapter 1. And this evening we're considering escaping the gang or fleeing from the gang. And the gang is referred to here in Proverbs 1 from verse 10. Let me just read some of these verses to you. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Now here is a wise and a loving father counseling his son. And essentially he says, do not go with the crowd. Do not go with the gang. Do not join them in their enterprises, their evil enterprises, their plans and their schemes. They think they have a foolproof way to gain materially, but ultimately it is ruinous and destructive and utter folly. So avoid this gang at all costs. The counsel comes from one who is loving, indeed, maybe from both parents, if we were to read the earlier verses of the chapter. But the counsel is a counsel of love, concern for the life, the well-being of their son, and counsel him to avoid the gang. Now, the title of my little gospel message this evening is Escape the Gang. Because you see, I was going to give it the title, if you like, Avoid the Gang, which is what the loving and caring father here is doing for and to his son. But I'm thinking of you if you are unconverted. I can't really say avoid the gang, because you see, you're already in it. So for you, it is to escape the gang. I could say to the Christian listening, avoid the gang. Avoid going back to the gang and uniting again with them and joining in all their endeavors. I trust I make myself a little more clear and plain as we continue. But the Christian is out of this particular gang that all from birth are in. And I want just to take that example or illustration that's given here of joining a gang, this lawless gang, this corrupt gang, these ne'er-do-wells, these thieves and robbers, and indeed, ultimately, murder in cases. And so the wise counsel is to the believer, avoid going back to such, getting sucked back into the world and its gang. Now, Let's continue then. And let me counsel you, if you're unconverted, to give heed to spiritual fathers, indeed ultimately to God himself, who is in one sense the father of all mankind, in that he has given us life, fathered us in the sense of the life that we live, using, of course, the means of human reproduction. But all life is a gift ultimately from God. And here is a loving father counseling you, saying, escape the gang if you haven't yet. Saying to us, the believer, avoid the gang. So it is spoken in love. You might call the preachers of the gospel fathers in the sense, those who are to care for souls, those who are to bring God's truth and God's glorious gospel, the gospel of redeeming grace, whereby the unsaved and those caught up in the world's gang may be those who escape by the grace and the power and the wisdom of God and unite with God's people and be blessed in life and be blessed throughout eternity. So let's just continue with that before us. So escape the gang is the counsel, the need for the unbeliever. And remember, I've mentioned that you are a member of a particular gang. I've referred to it as the world's gang. Well, you're all aware, I'm sure, and have heard in the media or read of the postcode gangs that now exist in our towns and our cities. So there are groups of young men usually, but men and girls as well, in maybe the N5 gang if you're from London, the SE11 again if you're from London, the RG2 we might say, some gang in Reading itself who come from that particular area or postcode, and they proudly name themselves these gangs by their postcode. We're the RG2 gang, you know. The unregenerate, of course, and the unsaved. Well, they have a gang too. We might call it W1, and I don't mean Westminster. No, this is World One, the world's gang. It's the biggest. It's the most hostile. It's the most lawless and anarchic gang that there is. And regrettably, friend, if you're unsaved, you were born into it. We all were born into this gang. We're members by dint of being born. We're in the world's gang. Now, just as gangs have initiation rites or distinguishing features, and you know they like to have these, don't you? I'm referring perhaps to a particular kind of dress or attire, particular gang known by their jackets, their particular t-shirt, something that they wear that identifies them as a member of this particular gang. So their attire, there are various initiation rites. If you want to join this gang, they may give you some particular work or job to do. It's like the initiation rite. Go and beat up the first gang rival. Do your first job for the gang. A mugging, a theft, a drug drop or delivery. Some are known by specific tattoos, skin marks or cuttings, distinguishing features that mark them out as members of this particular gang. Well, you see, as members of the world's gang, the gang we're born into, we have distinguishing features. We are marked. We can be clearly identified as belonging to the world's gang. And again, if you're unconverted, unregenerate, not truly born of the Spirit, then you're still in this gang. It's organized. It's universal. It's not just like some local gang, postcode, or even the Sicilian mafia. No, this is national. It's universal. And it has features. Indeed, we too have a dress or a tower as we're born in our corrupted nature and state and condition of corruption. Why the imputed sin of Adam is ours. Here's a distinguishing feature of everyone that's in the world's gang. The imputed sin of Adam is still theirs. It's still upon them. It's still over them. It's still in them. The corrupt nature that come from that original sin, godless nature, selfish nature, often proud, covetous, spiteful, or lustful. These are all distinguishing characteristics and features of the world's gang. And indeed, what's missing? Not just what we have, but what's missing as members of the world's gang, born alienated from God. Well, what is missing? Well, indeed, no love for God. No love at all in the heart for the Lord. No joy in the Lord. No love for his word, truly. No appreciation of God's care and provision, especially his redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, these things are missing. We don't have such. But we do have many features that identify us belonging to the world's gang. I've mentioned just some. But there's jealousy. There's envy. There's spite. We sometimes curse, swear. We are guilty of taking the Lord's name in vain, have done so perhaps many, many times throughout life. We are guilty of not keeping his day, not as special. It's good that we can meet as we do, and that's good. What have we done with the rest of the day? Have we given it over unto the Lord? Have we sought him? Have we been praying to him? Have we expressed our gratitude for his mercies, his compassion, his long-suffering and patience with us? Have we supremely thanked him for the cross, for Christ, his beloved, dying on the cross, suffering for sinners, dying for sinners, rising again to justify those who believe in him? Ascending up into glory, into heaven, taking his place on the throne, reigning supremely and watching over his church, his people. Have you thanked him that you have been taken out of the world's gang, that you're not running with the crowd that is opposed to the Lord's reign and rule? There is no thought for him or no regard for him. Well, the time's going very quickly, and I want to spend some time looking at escaping the gang. So if this is the kind of gang that we're in, and here was the counsel, oh, escape it. Get out of this gang. It's utter folly. Did you notice in that reading where I read from verses 10 to 19 of Proverbs chapter 1, there was a little picture and a little illustration given of those who would not heed a loving father's counsel. Let me just remind you of it. So in verses 17, the little illustration of the folly of not heeding one's loving, caring parent, father, perhaps in particular, counseling his son. If a son was so foolish as to neglect and not take heed to his loving father's counsel to avoid this gang and goes and joins it, he says, this is utter folly. This is supreme folly. This will end in absolute disaster and utter ruin of your life, son. Don't go there. Of course, it will end in the utter destruction of your soul if you don't heed your heavenly father or those spiritual fathers he's raised up to counsel you, to urge you, to call you to repent, to escape the gang that you're part of and in from birth, but there is a way to escape. Well, if you neglect this counsel, listen to the little illustration. In verse 17 it says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. Well, notice the first part of the illustration is that would anyone in their right mind lay traps, the trapper set his traps, in the sight of the bird he wants to trap? Does he go out when the birds are there and go about his business preparing the net and so on? Or if it's a particular animal, would he stand in front of the animal in full view and expect it to come and jump into this hole, this great pit that he has dug and spent hours digging or whatever? What a fool, we would say. The man knows nothing about trapping. He's just an idiot. Well, friend, if you don't heed the counsel of God, you're a bit like this foolish trapper. He's not going to trap anything. He's not going to catch anything. He's just foolish. Now, if we don't give heed to God's counsel to escape this gang we're in, we're going with them all, one by one, down into the pit, from which there's no extraction. There's no recovery if we go there, if we die in our sin, if we die unforgiven and unpardoned. We're not coming out of this abyss, this pit. This is forever. What folly then, if we do not heed this loving, loving counsel of the Almighty. He's reasoning with you. He's calling to you. He's warning you. He's saying, get out of this. And there is a way to escape. No, continue, says the illustration. They that lay wait, that is those that have run with the gang and are hiding to rob, to murder. Well, what are they ultimately doing? Well, they're laying wait for their own blood. They'll come to utter destruction themselves. Many went down that road throughout history, didn't they? And ended up at the end of a rope. Ended up being captured. Ended up being killed as they perpetrated their robberies and so on. How many yet are still languishing in prisons, thrown away their life, but ultimately again, if not converted, having thrown away their soul? What madness and what folly. No, give heed then. So how can we escape? Well, let me just say this at the outset as I come to conclude in the last section of our little gospel message this evening. It's not easy. It isn't easy. Indeed, if it weren't for the grace of God and the help of God, the help he's promised those that earnestly want to escape this gang and become one of his subjects, one of his people. He doesn't have gangs. He doesn't take us into an alternative gang, but he does make us a subject of the King. We belong to a glorious King. We are members of the kingdom of the Savior, of the Son of God. And how different that is to a gang. No escaping the gang. It's not easy. It takes courage. There may indeed be great cost involved, but listen, it will cost you more to stay in the gang, to remain a member of it, to die a member of it. So we make the balance. Use your mind, that God-given mind, where you can reason logically, rationally. You can consider these things. Don't neglect the counsel of a loving Father, of Almighty God himself, who mercifully, who graciously reasons with you. No, give heed to him. First of all, you will need help, of course. You will need strength. You can't come out of these gangs, you know, in your own strength. I mean the highly organized gangs. I mean something like the mafia. I mean like the IRA, or even perhaps Protestant paramilitary gangs, because that's all they are. You can't leave them very easily. Indeed, often you need protection. They have to, those that want to leave, and there have been those, they have to get help from the authorities. They have to go to the police. They have to seek help and support. Now, you will need help and support. They are intimidating. They have their codes by which they live. You've perhaps heard of the Sicilian Mafia's code. No, the Costra Nosa, or Nosa Costra, if I've got it the wrong way around. The code of silence, the Omerta, where when they are interrogated, they must remain silent, they must say nothing. These gangs live by particular codes and values and gang culture. Now, if you break that, and of course, to leave the gang, that's exactly what you're going to do. You want out of the world's gang. You're going to be intimidated. You're going to have to consider. You're going to have to think. You're going to have to know there is help and support, because you won't be able to withstand the pressure from the world on your own. So is there help? Well, of course, those trying to escape the postcode gangs, or like the mafia or the IRA that I've mentioned, they go to the police. Some have done so and had enjoined protection plans and been moved to houses of safety to relocate somewhere else. I'll mention that in a moment. But listen to these words. So you're fearful of leaving the gang, because of the cost involved, because of, well, many things you may be considering, what it may indeed cost you, and you don't feel you're strong enough to leave the gang, to come into the kingdom, to come to the Lord. Well, let me give you some encouraging words. Listen to this. Here's the help. If you earnestly desire to flee the gang, escape the gang, the world's gang, and condemnation and judgment, and you have, by the grace of God, been made wise, and you now know what it will cost you to stay in the gang, to stand God guilty and condemned, know you want to meet him. Him as your heavenly Father, to gaze into the face of the Son of God, not just as your judge, but as your friend, as your Savior, as your Redeemer. You desire that, but you're fearful. Listen to these words of God himself. Behold, this is through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. If you cry out, he'll hear you. If you cry out, he'll not only hear you, and you express your desire to be forgiven, to be changed, to become a true follower of Christ, to be a true child of God. If you earnestly mean that, and you cry out to the Lord, repenting of your sin, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise is you'll have the almighty power of God as your aid and your help and your strength, and he will not fail you. Whatever you have to face or confront, whatever you have to give up, becoming a believer in Christ and following him, God will supply. You'll have the power and help of the Almighty on your side. You know, these protection plans that are made when someone wants to leave one of the gangs in our world, the drug gangs and cartels and so on, and they're fearful because they know they'd be executed. They go to the police, some have done so, and you know, tragically, though they were promised all manner of help, and it was genuinely intended, but men being men with all our limitations, some of those who placed themselves under the protection of the authorities, of the law enforcers, or the police or whoever, they actually ended up being caught by the gang and executed, and maybe brutally tortured before execution. But that could never happen to a child of God. That won't ever happen if you earnestly seek the Lord. His promise of his help, his aid, his strength, his power to redeem and save has never failed. Indeed, it could never fail. Do not be fearful. Don't be locked out of heaven, as the fearful will be, listed in the category of all those who will be shut out of the eternal kingdom, the glorious kingdom of Christ, are the fearful. Trust God. Believe his word. Don't doubt him. He promises his strength. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Well, let me just read another text from the same prophet, Isaiah. And this time it's Isaiah 45, that was Isaiah 59. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Now these are the words of Christ, the words of the Godhead, but the words of Christ. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth. in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. What wonderful promises the Lord has given the fearful, but those who genuinely desire to escape the gang, to come out of the world, to become one of the Lord's redeemed. Friend, he'll help you. He says, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. There's no place, there's no nation, there's no person anywhere in this world that the Lord cannot save. So it's to all in the earth, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. So you need strength to escape the gang. You need support, you need help. What greater help than in the help of the omnipotent, the omniscient, the eternal, the infinite, the loving, caring God and Redeemer. Come to Christ. What power he has. All power, all authority in heaven and on earth. He can save you, friend. He will save you if you call upon him and earnestly. So look to him. What else to escape the gang? Now the time is nearly up, so I need to go quickly. You might need a new identity. Indeed, you will need a new identity to come out of this gang. Or as you come out of the gang. Now again, this is what the authorities do when some flee the gang. They've been given a new identity. They don't remain the same people. Why? Some of them are given a completely different name. They are fixed up with birth certificate and everything else to authenticate them. That's part of the arrangement, part of their deal. Perhaps they have agreed to inform. And so they are protected. They are kept. They are given this new identity. Friend, God will give you a new identity. You'll not be the same old person. Don't think that God would fail you and leave you as the same person you are now, powerless against your sin, powerless in the face of an intimidating world where you feel you could never stand up for the Lord and contend for the truth and the faith. No, fearful that you would be put down, that it would cost you so much. Look, you'll have a new identity. That comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I just quoted, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away and all things become new. Absolutely new. You get a new start. That's what they promise those that come out of the gangs, isn't it? Come, we'll give you a new identity. We'll give you a new start. We'll even give you sums of money. And some have been given quite substantial sums of money, depending on the quality of their information that they've given. Well, you see, the Lord gives us a new identity. He makes us new creatures in Christ. The old things pass away. Everything becomes new. What a person you will be. What a different person you will be. You'll find you have power and new desires. Desires to love Christ. You'll be praying for that. Perhaps as your chief prayer. Where now you think, I could never love the Lord the way these Christians talk about loving him. Well, of course you can't. You need a new identity. You need a new nature. And that's promised to you. The Lord says, all in him are new creatures. a new creation. He makes us anew. It's a wonderful experience. Well, you may need financial help and support. I mentioned that. Well, I'm not saying the Lord will promise you great wealth and riches, but what are they compared to the riches of heaven and eternal life? Spent in the presence of the Almighty, spent in the presence of the wonder of all wonders, the Lord Jesus himself. He that is altogether lovely and perfect. He that is so loving and caring. Why, it's life and will be to behold him face to face, to know his presence. Friends, these are riches you may not be able to appreciate in an unconverted state, but once you're a saved person with a new nature, all these take on such an intensity, such a reality. Don't miss this. Not for all the world. Get out of the gang. Call upon the Lord. Because listen, he gives us riches, but they're unique. They're spiritual riches and treasures. And I quote now from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The words of the Apostle Paul. He says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Through Christ, channeled through him, because of him, for his glory, you'll be blessed with all the riches you need. Whatever you need to escape the gang, it's all there. The package, as it were, is in place. Well, escape the gang. Now, I had wanted to take you to a passage, and perhaps I'll just push for a couple of moments, because this is quite important. I hope it all has been, but I want to end with this from Matthew's Gospel and chapter 3. Now, the setting, as it were, is the preaching of John the Baptist in the wilderness. And he's preaching, in effect, to the vast crowds that were coming to hear him. He's preaching a message of repentance. He's saying, the Lord is in your midst. The promised Messiah has come. He is present. He will be revealed to you. Now then, repent. Bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. Demonstrate your repentance truly, that you want to be different, that in effect you want to be out and escape the world's gang. You want to be one of the true servants of God. You want to know your sins forgiven. You want to confess them before God. You want to express your true repentance through baptism and being baptized. Now, lo and behold, as John is preaching this, and many people are responding genuinely and are being baptized with this baptism of repentance, that they want to embrace the Savior, they want to know him, they want to trust him and believe in him. They realize they need their sins forgiven. Lo and behold, who comes with them? Well, some of the Pharisees and the scribes. But you see, though they come to be baptized, John knows their true character. And we read these words. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet, genuinely displaying, revealing your repentance. You see, he knew, in a sense, all they wanted, because they were insincere, was to stay on the right side of the people. Their status, their influence, was everything to them. Now the people were listening to John. Multitudes were being baptized. And they wanted to stay the right side of them. Indeed, they may well have wanted this external, this baptism, this rite, to give them some kind of insurance. They didn't want to truly give up their power and their influence disappear. They weren't truly penitent and truly sorry for their own sins, their pride, their self-righteousness, their false teachings, their burdens placed upon the people, and so on. No, they weren't truly repenting of that, but they did want to be seen to be identifying with one that the people acknowledged was a true prophet or servant of God. And if this was the thing to do, to be accepted, well, they would do it. Now, what I say is, come sincerely. Don't be like the Pharisee and the scribe. You know, rituals and rites, they're sometimes distinguishing features. This is ironic, isn't it? Because this would be a matter of religion, not hostility, open hostility to God. But you know, one of the features of belonging to the world's gang is this Christless religion, this ritualistic religion, even God-ordained rite, like baptism. But if there's been no true repentance, then whatever baptism I've had is meaningless. Whether as an infant or even as an adult, it matters not. What does matter, and what John points out, and what we must do to escape the gang, is to come with sincerity, to come truly repenting, casting ourselves upon the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Now look to him. Don't stay in the world's gang. Oh, it must be in some ways, and I had a little experience firsthand of seeing what it can be to join a gang and to be in one with, oh, lots of power over some small-minded people, gullible people, naive people. I don't think I'm giving away a big secret if I was to tell you now that my older brother, now deceased, was second in command in a paramilitary organization and very close to a man you would have seen on television many, many times, his lieutenant. Oh, and the term was used. Someone came, some act of revenge, and smashed his windows. And he had then, at his age, he was long past his paramilitary powers and position. But the reigning commander come to see him, and who had great respect for him. He said these words to my brother, and my brother relayed this to me himself. He said, "Oh, we will see to it for you." He said, "You," saying his name, You were like a God to us. Friend, my brother's gone. He was high up in the gang. But you know the truth of Proverbs chapter 1. He's gone. He had no profession. He'd no savior. He didn't heed the counsel, and he heard it as a child, as a boy. We all did, our family. Now don't be like him. Don't be like the scribe, the Pharisee. Don't be insincere. Seek the Lord. Come to him. Cry out to him for mercy and forgiveness. If you mean it and you truly repent of your sin, he has the power to save you. He has the care, the love, the willingness, and he will save. Let's sing our closing hymn. If we can put it on the screen, please. It's 475. The hymn 475. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee.